Hello and welcome to Drazen Sommer's podcast, Blue Waves. I'm Jaguri Dhar from the international team, and I'm quite excited to bring the first episode in English. Today, we are going to talk about something that touches all of us. Climate change, as we know, is on the top of everybody's agenda. From governments to businesses, big or small, the international development sector, and even universities. Around the world, there's a growing concern on how to reduce its impact on our lives. To discuss some tangible solutions, we are joined by Olaf Kranz from the British Embassy Berlin and Marco Abdallah from Drazen Sommer UK. Let's unpack with them how the built environment sector, which, by the way, is one of the largest contributors of CO2 emissions, can make sustainable and technological interventions to help achieve the zero emission targets. You may have noticed that our panelists cut across borders. And why not? Climate change is not something we can resolve on our own. So let's kick things off with Olaf Kranz, Head of Science and Innovation from the British Embassy in Berlin. Hola, Olaf. How's it going for you in Berlin?
Hello, Jaguri. Hello, Marco. It's great here in Berlin, to start with the weather. Sun is shining today.
Fantastic. We all like that after the crazy time that we've had over the last weeks, as people are calling a white Easter. Did you have something similar in the UK as well, Marco?
Hi, Jaguri. Hi, Olaf. Weather is great, actually. It's very sunny and also the pubs are open. So I'm really looking forward to get outside.
Oh, no such luck for us in Germany, still under a lockdown. But yeah, just touching on the weather a bit, like crazy times over the few weeks. So with snow showers in April, it's just a way of climate change manifesting itself, don't you think?
Yes, I completely agree. I think what we can see now globally, but just talking for us here in Europe, are the impacts of climate change with the situation we had throughout the past years, drier summers, then a mix of really strong weather changes in springtime, then massive storms, for example. So that's things happening under climate change, I would say.
Absolutely. Now, Olaf, you are someone who follows policy very closely, be it the European Union's Green Deal, EU taxonomy, or the new ESG parameters. And the UK government also has the vision to decarbonize the economy by 2050. How do you think Germany, Europe's biggest economy, and the UK post-Brexit can still partner for a greener and cleaner tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. There are plenty of topics, I would say, for the UK and Germany to join forces for a greener future. As we started discussing at least, climate change is a global grand challenge, as we all know. Just for Europe and focusing it a bit to science, research and innovation, I think you are all aware of the fact that the European Union and the UK end of last year agreed to an association of the UK to Horizon Europe, which is a really important framework for collaboration in science and innovation on a European level. And by our association, the UK will still be an important part of that multilateral European collaboration. But other than that, complementary to the European frame, there is still room also for bilateral collaboration between the UK and Germany, especially on fields like climate change, sustainability. And just taking two examples, one is, which is often in media in the past weeks, hydrogen research and production, for example. Another one is, which is also something we will touch upon during the embassy talks, sustainable and more resilient cities of the future. And there's a lot of scope, as I said, for joining forces, especially in these areas.
Absolutely. As we did say that climate change is something that we need absolute collective action. And we are working with, of course, you at the embassy in Berlin and our offices across Germany and the UK and Imperial College London to really bring interdisciplinary teams to come together and discuss, and not only discuss, but also find some solutions that can be workable and support the two countries in achieving their targets. So let's go to Marco now. Now, Marco, you are someone who we can call a globetrotter. Now, earlier you were from Germany, of course, and then you were in Shanghai and now in London. Do you see a change in attitude when it comes to sustainability in the real estate sector?
Yeah, I think at least there is probably a difference in motivation towards sustainability. At the time I was in China, the aspiration towards sustainability was driven by the demand for healthy building environments. But I think that was already a couple of years ago. So China changes incredibly fast and is very good in addressing large problems with effective and large solutions. In Germany, we have, I would say, a very strong focus on energy efficiency, maybe due to the very high utility cost. I think we have the highest electricity prices in Europe. And also the fact that we have lots of clients who own, operate, and also use the buildings for themselves. And in the past 5 years, I believe we could really see a very strong impact on sustainable materials, especially regarding recycling and now circular economy, a more structured approach for materials and resources. And Jaggery, if I recall correctly, the Germans are recycling champions in the world. And what we see here in the UK is that embodied carbon, so the carbon emissions related to the material use, is currently the hottest topic. It really became a design parameter which starts to impact and influence the architecture. And I think that this will become visible in the next generation of buildings. And I also think that it would be very nice to see how sustainability will change the appearance of our buildings and also of our urban environment.
Absolutely. Very interesting comparisons there. And now, since you have this vast experiences from different economies, now what do you think is the most crucial element that the real estate sector really needs to sit up and change now?
Well, I think the construction sector has two main challenges to address. First, we have, as you mentioned before, a massive carbon emissions in our industry. And additionally, we have a resource and a waste problem. So decarbonization of our industry is absolutely necessary. I think our buildings are responsible for 30 to 40% of global carbon emissions. And here we need to, however, distinguish between the operational carbon emissions related to the energy use of our buildings. And that was in the focus the last 10 years. And now also embodied carbon emissions related to the material side and the entire supply chain, which is behind it. And I'm actually very confident to say that operational carbon emissions are, I think, technically very much solved, at least for new buildings. We have the technology to develop plus energy buildings. Our own headquarter is now a plus energy building. I think it's more a lack of motivation if we don't do that. And the only technical challenge remains for existing buildings. But also here, I think the potential, the impact we can make is really, really large. So I think the biggest technical challenge, if you want to say it like that, is where it's not completely solved yet, is to reduce embodied carbon emissions, which over the life cycle of a building exceed operational carbon emissions in many cases. And I think here it's a no-brainer to obviously really try to fully use our existing building stock and refurbish instead of building new. And I know that's sometimes difficult to accept. So another solution brings us to circular economy, where we work with closed material loops. Because when we recycle, when we reuse materials, we simply skip the very energy intensive primary raw material process. And I think the nice thing actually about circular economy is that it provides not only a solution for embodied carbon emissions, we also have a solution on hand which solves our resource and waste problem. So if you really want to address these ecological challenges in our construction sector, there is no way around circular economy. It will be a driver for the transformation of our industry. I think it's much more than a buzzword.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you mentioned it quite a few times and we hear it quite ever so often. But can you explain us how practically circular economy can be implemented during the construction of a building?
Well, I think the idea of circular economy exists already over 30 years. Michael Braungart and William McDonough developed the cradle-to-cradle principles in the 80s. So it's, I think, a very approved concept. It started, however, on consumer product level, and since a couple of years now reached the construction sector, where we can really make a huge impact because 60% of our waste comes from our construction industry. I think what is new is that circular economy now becomes also a design principle for buildings. So we see in our projects a new design competence evolving, which is required if you really want to implement cradle to cradle and circular economy in your projects. So we have circular engineers who bring the toolbox to the project to drive the process throughout the project. And I think that's one of the keys how to successfully implement circular economy in a project. And since we also touched on innovation and technology, I think it's fair to say that that innovation and technology, such as BIM, together with modular building approaches, are really boosting and accelerating circular economy and also make the entire implementation in the project significantly easier and more efficient.
Wow, that's so very interesting. So everything literally goes back to the cycle. Essentially, no waste is created. Instead, we are preserving raw materials as assets for the future. This is something that we can truly call future-proof. What do you think, Olaf?
I definitely agree. And thank you for these interesting insights into circular economy.
One more thing that we often talk about, that sustainability and smart go hand in hand. The phrase that the future is smart is something that slipped into our common parlance. How do you, Olaf, see that play across the different verticals of a smart city in terms of infrastructure, mobility, or even a smart home?
Yes, I would say smart mainly refers to technology, and technology helps in all areas of future cities to make things more effective, more efficient. We need an approach across disciplines and sectors. I think we touched upon that also when talking about circular economy. And that's also why it is so crucial to work across disciplines and linking different communities, different disciplines together to work on a specific topic or subject. Just taking mobility as an example you mentioned already. On the one hand, of course, researchers come up with new developments, maybe new vehicles, including autonomous driving, for example. Smart application can then combine different modes of mobility together to help you navigate through an urban area. Policymakers, also to mention that side of things, need to provide a proper frame to make things happen, also agree on strategies, overall strategies. And then, of course, the society and individuals, we need to take these new developments, approaches and strategies up. I think by that, you can see that working together across disciplines is such an important thing when talking about future sustainable cities, sustainability in very general terms, and of course, climate change mitigation in very general terms. And that's also why we the embassy talks said it is so crucial to bring different people from different communities together to have a collaboration across disciplines and an exchange of latest developments across disciplines and across communities.
Absolutely. That's a no-brainer. That's why I said that this is not something that we can do on our own, and we really need all sections of the society, be it policymakers, and in specifically in the real estate sector, it's the developers, the builders, they have to think about ways of bringing these smart and sustainable elements together. Marco, now you are quite often you find yourself in these transactions. Do you see that there is a change in attitude? There is an increased demand for people demanding sustainable and smart technologies at real estate transactions?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think there was a huge change in the last 5 years, because I think many investors committed very strongly to zero carbon or other sustainability targets. We have ESG frameworks, which drive sustainability also from the management level into the projects. And I think that definitely has happened. I think unsustainable assets will be stranded assets in the future. So it's absolutely a focus at most of transactions.
Clearly, the built environment sector is witnessing momentum towards responsible construction practices, along with advanced technical upgrades that will make the sector resilient. Any final thoughts from you, Marco and Olaf, something that you'd like to cover?
Well, I think what is really interesting to see is also how sustainability and this entire topic of new innovation provides an opportunity for young people. I think we will see completely new roles in our construction industry. And it's something really interesting. You can think out of the box, be creative. And at least for me, that was the reason why I became an engineer many years ago.
Okay, fantastic. Some personal insights. And you, Olaf, from a G2G point of view, how do you see such cross-country collaborations really speeding things up or being at least an enabler for change?
Yeah, I think government-to-government collaboration is so important when talking about an international and global endeavor like climate change and sustainability. And especially between the UK and Germany, focusing on science and innovation in particular, there is so much scope for collaboration, for joining forces, for bringing the best developments together, to finally then find the best approaches to transform our economy and society and make it a fit for the future. And just to say, I said it in between already, that political frames and the strategies of governments, and especially ours in the UK and in Germany, are so crucial and important to provide a proper frame and define targets and a common understanding of these approaches and an agreement to these approaches is also crucial to then, in the end, define a proper frame for research, innovation, and industrial take up under this umbrella.
Yeah, that sounds like a great commitment. And we, of course, will continue with our efforts in bringing interdisciplinary teams through the German-British Embassy talks. And you, our listeners, wherever you may be, you can join in too and be a part of this ongoing initiative. Explore and unravel the nuances around ecological building practices, smart technologies, and their impacts on our communities. Thank you ever so much, Olaf and Marco, for your time. It was indeed an insightful discussion.
Thank you, Jaggery.
Thank you, Jaggery.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to catching up with you. And a big thank you to our listeners. I look forward to speaking with you again. Until then, keep tuning into Blue Waves for more discussions on current topics that shape our real estate world. Thank you and bye.